Let's open our Bibles again this evening to Colossians chapter 3. I won't read the entire passage. We've been reading it for several weeks now, but I do want to just read a couple of verses before we plunge in to get the context. Chapter 2, verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, and then chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. So the foundation of what we're going to read and study this evening is the fact that Christians are people who both have died and have raised. They have new life in Jesus Christ. And what we're going to study about the ethics of the Christian life, that pattern that ought to be seen in us that we should follow, is not in order to gain salvation, not in order to be joined to Christ, but based on the fact of having been joined to Christ, the fact that we have died to the old way of life and that we have been raised to a new way of life. And that ought to be seen and manifested in the things that the Apostle Paul speaks of subsequently. Let's pick up then in verse 5 and read down through verse 9. Therefore, because you've died and been raised again, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness or greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, that is, speaking evil of others in the context, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, I can't help. Verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed. And so here again we have this list of sins which the apostle tells us to put to death, verse 5, to put off, verse 8 and 9. These are things which ought not to be named among us. These are those characteristics of the old man, of the old way of life to which we have died. They should not be seen anymore. We don't want to resurrect them. They're gone. They should be gone. And so Paul is just saying now to us, as those who have experienced this new birth, this new life, all right, live what you are. And so we're going to consider the last item in this list that we have here before us, and that is verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And so let's ask God's help as we consider this sin of lying, a sin which is very prevalent in our society, and hopefully not to be named among us, but we are still in the flesh. And that's why Paul had to write it, put it off. Put off lying from your lips. Let's pray that God would help us so to do. Our Father, as we come before you this evening, we are conscious with Isaiah that we are a people of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We are conscious that lying lips are an abomination to you. We are conscious, though, that at times we too have been guilty of such sins. And so we plead for grace. We plead that you would take this word home to the hearts of your people to whom these letters were written in the New Testament. We ask that you would also come to the hearts of those who are not yet your people with convicting power, that as you have said, Lord Jesus, you would send your Spirit into the world to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and the judgment to come. And so we ask that the Spirit would do that great work this evening of bringing conviction of sin, but then that he would lead to Jesus' blood and grant the pardon that only comes through the blood of the Lamb.
So we ask that you would minister to our soul's need. In whatever case there may be this evening, you know the heart of each one before a word is on our tongue or a thought in our minds. O Lord, you know it all together. And so minister your word to our hearts, our words, our thoughts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we come to this chapter again, we've looked at the sins of immorality, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, greed, of anger and wrath, of malice, slander, evil speaking. And now we come to the last of all of these, and that is lying. Do not lie to one another. Again, this is a sin that is so common in society around us. People can lie without blinking. They lie as easy as breathe. It's hard to believe what people tell you because you ask yourself, well, is that really so? And this is true ever since Eve listened to the serpent who said, "Has God said?" And then, "You will not surely die." Eve listened to the liar and became a liar. Well, that's our background. As we consider this verse, really what we're going to have this evening is a topical study. I guess you could call this a topical textual sermon because we're going to bounce off of this text into the deep end of the Bible and find many, many expressions of why this is so. And so here's our outline very briefly. The sanctity of truth. In other words, why is this so important that we put off lying and not lie to one another or anyone else? The sanctity of truth. So we see the importance of it. Secondly, so that we might avoid it, so that we might be aware, we're going to look at the reasons why people lie, why you are tempted to lie, so that you might avoid that temptation. And then, of course, many applications to our hearts. Let's plunge in then with the sanctity of truth. Why is it so vital that we not lie? I mean, in these days, people just say, well, it was just a little white lie. It was just a lie. What's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. And the big deal comes in a great contrast in the scriptures. First of all, God is a God of truth. And that's patent in the pages of scripture. God is a God of truth. In fact, the Bible tells us he cannot lie. Now, let me just quote some verses for you. If you want to look them up, I'll give the references, but you have to be quick. Otherwise, just listen. Numbers. And these quotes would be from the New American Standard Version. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? In other words, when God says something, you can rely on it. He's going to do it. He's going to make it good. He's the true and living God, Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He's not a false God. He's not a fake God. He is a true God. In fact, we read John 3:33, "He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true." Now, we heard this morning a very clear exposition of some reasons why you ought to believe the gospel. Jesus has been raised. It's a fact. It's true. Why is it true? Because God is true. His word is true. We read in Titus 1:2, God who cannot lie. We read in Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Can God lie? You know, I think I've told this before, but I'll tell it again because that's one of the advantages of growing old, that you can get away with such things. I remember a girl in our church in Manila asked me this question one time. We were going someplace in the car and she said, "You know, my cousin said to me, can your God do anything?" And she said, "Well, yes." And so he gives this conundrum, can he make a rock so big that he can't move? And I said to her, be careful of such trick questions. Because honestly, that's a foolish thing God's not foolish. So God's not going to do something that foolish. But can God do anything? I asked the girl again. I said, no, he can't do everything. Because it's impossible for God to lie. Can your God do everything? No, he can't. He cannot sin. He cannot do evil. He cannot lie. It's impossible. And so there we have a good God. It's impossible for him to do something wicked and evil, such as lying. And so that's the first foundation stone here. Why lying is bad? Because it contradicts the character of God. God made us in his image to be like him, to reflect him. That means we are to be true because God is true. Our word is to be true because God's word is true. But then, by way of contrast, why should we avoid lying? Well, because where does it come from? I already gave you a big hint in the introduction. Eve listened to Satan in the garden. Who is Satan? Well, Jesus tells us, John 8:44. And here I want you to turn with me to John 8:44 and see with your own eyes, we'll come back to this verse, what Jesus says to, notice, to Israelites, children of Abraham, who boasted in the fact that Abraham was their father and claimed also that God was their father. Jesus says to them, John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own character, his own things, his own. The word resource is in italics, not in the original. He speaks from his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Where do lies come from? The devil. You want to lie? You're acting just like your father, the devil. That's his character. It's not God's character. You see the great contrast. God is true. It's impossible for him to lie. We're to be like God. The devil, that's his character. He's a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And so with this great contrast, God, the God of truth, Satan, the father of lies, an enemy of truth, we are to fight against lies, and we are to put lying out of our lips, not speak it out of our lips, but to make sure it doesn't come out of our lips ever again. You shall be holy as I am holy, God tells us. That means we are to overcome this sin. Now, if we're to overcome this sin, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. What are some of Satan's devices to entice us, trick us, ensnare us into lying, perhaps before we give it a thought? And that's why I'm going to go into, in the second place, some of the reasons why people lie. And you know, a little time with a concordance. If you just look up these two things, lying and truth, you'll find a whole wealth of information. And so for a preacher, he's going to do a topical study on lying versus truth. Wow, it's not a matter of how am I going to ever fill a 45, 50-minute sermon. It's how am I going to keep this under 2 hours? Well, hopefully it will be a fair amount less than 2 hours this evening. But there's a wealth of information in the scriptures to help you fight against lying. And that's my purpose. One of my purposes here this evening is for you brethren, dear fellow believers here at Trinity Baptist Church, that we would put lying out of our lips. Well, first thing on my list, and you could reorder these perhaps, but first reason why we are enticed, tricked, snared in lying is to avoid something difficult, unpleasant, or potentially dangerous. You find yourself in a tough spot. Maybe it was no fault of your own, and you're tempted to lie to get out of the tough spot. If you tell the truth, it's going to get worse, so the devil tells you. And so, lie. Well, think of a biblical example. Who's the first one comes to your mind who lied to get out of a tough spot? My mind jumps to Abraham. Abraham, here he is with a beautiful wife, though she's a bit older, but she had lost none of the shine of her beauty in her older age. And they have to go down to Egypt because of the famine. They get to Egypt, and Abraham thinks to himself, oh my, when Pharaoh gets wind of the fact that I've got a beautiful woman with me, if he thinks she's my wife, he'll kill me to take her. And so let's just say, Sarah, you're my sister. I mean, we are somewhat related, so that's not it's a half-truth. Isn't that the way of the devil? Oh, you fudge this half-truth and you say it as if it's the whole truth. Half-truth parading as a whole truth is a untruth. It's a lie. He's your wife. And so, well, God, in his mercy, warns Pharaoh. He gets out of it. And you know, we bang our heads against the wall and say, Abraham, didn't you learn your lesson? And he does it again with Abimelech. And he goes there and he sojourns in this land of Abimelech. And he thinks again, oh, Sarah, you're still... Imagine, this woman really must have had a considerable beauty, because this is a few years later. And still, he's worried that her beauty is going to attract the king. So say you're my sister again. Let's play this game again. And God has mercy and warns Abimelech. He said, well, why'd you do this? Well, I thought surely there's no fear of God in this land. Well, there was more than you thought, more than perhaps is in your own heart. He does it, and his son does it. You see, here's the point. Tough spot. Looks dangerous. The truth is going to get us in trouble. Let's just lie. Let's just, you know, half lie, or, you know, a Jesuitical lie where you say, well, in my mind, I'll think one thing while I say another, and that'll make it good. Uh-uh. What's a lie? It's something told which is not true for the deliberate purpose of deceiving. Well, because, why do I say that? Well, you might repeat a story that you thought was true. I mean, you're not deliberately deceiving, and then you find out later it's not true. Well, then you would probably have to go back and rectify your mistake. But that was not a deliberate intent to deceive. But here Abraham is deliberately intending to deceive to get out of trouble. And so, illustration up to date. You have a deadline at work. If you report and your job is not done, you're going to be in deep water. So you call in, I'm sorry, boss, I'm sick today. And you finish the report at home. Okay. You got out of trouble with the boss. But God heard. Lying to avoid something difficult, unpleasant, potentially dangerous, to get yourself out of a fix. It's a lie. It's of the devil. Another reason why we're enticed into lying is to make others think more highly of you. And this we find in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about lying. And so we'll come back again and again. Proverbs 25 and verse 14. 25:14. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. Boasts of giving, or could be translated boasts of his gifts. Oh, look, I gave this much. And you can think, of course, of the Pharisees tinkling their coin in the offering plate to make it appear that they gave a lot. Why would you do this? Well, because you want to impress people. You know? It's like the guy who wears a watch, but he can't tell time. Well, why do you have the watch? Well, you want to impress people with your watch. Or the guy who has five pens in his pocket, but he can't read and write. He's trying to impress. Or, ladies, like the guy who is the peacock. I may have spoken of the peacock. He spreads his feathers and he looks like a great guy, but he's just trying to impress you to get something. Pride, he wants to impress, make others think more highly of you. And this can happen in a spiritual sense. Oh, you know what, I was reading in my devotions, and you had your devotions once that year. Proverbs 27:12 would be two would be a good guide here, flipping over the page. 27:2. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. My father, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, quoted the proverb to us, he who does not toot his own horn, wherewith shall it be tooted? Well, don't do it. You don't have to toot your own horn. You got a big horn? People will see the big horn. You don't have to blast it around in the hearing of others. So to make others think more highly of you. Another English proverb, self-praise stinks. A third reason why we are tempted to lie is to gain something of value by false methods. And so it's a kind of a combination of the sin of stealing with the sin of lying. And here in Proverbs, there's much about this. And so we'll just, you can follow me. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, as we flip through several Proverbs here and show that this is not just my imagination. Proverbs 11, 1, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, I don't know that we go to the market here. Oh, yes, I guess in the supermarket there's a scale there. But you don't want that scale to weigh your broccoli stalk and be heavy. Maybe you would lift that scale up underneath. I don't know. But think of going to the market, and this is reality still in the Philippines, where the seller is weighing your chunk of pork. And the price that you pay is based on the weight, but that weight is off. Now, that is reality in many places in the world where things are still sold by the weight of the scale that the seller controls. 11:1, dishonest scales. God sees it. It's an abomination to him. Turning over. Proverbs 20, verse 14. Now, it's not just the seller who does this. The buyer does it on his side of the counter. Proverbs 20, 14. This proverb always makes me smile. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasts. That's a worthless piece of junk. I'll give you a couple dollars for it. Look at this treasure I got at the garage sale. You know? Well, that's human nature, but it's falsehood. Bargaining, you say? Be honest. Proverbs 21:6. Getting treasure by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Why do people lie? Because they want treasure. Proverbs, I'm going back, sorry, I jumped out of order. 19:22. Just to kind of cap this off, 19:22. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Oh, but if I lie, I can make more money. It's better to be a poor man than a liar. Convince yourself of this in your business dealings. Better to be poor than to lie. Now, I was just struck this afternoon with another way in the same category of trying to gain something of value by false methods. What's another thing of value for young people? A good grade. You see how these proverbs can be applied in that way? Something of value. I want to have a, we could also go back to trying to impress people with a good grade. And you lie and steal by stealing someone else's answer or stealing the answer out of the book and lying and saying it's your answer. It's an abomination to the Lord. Young people, I do not know in your classroom situation. I remember in, I believe it was fourth grade, the first time one of my fellow students was caught cheating, copying out of the book that she had next to her desk, and was caught. How we were shocked. But these days, I think it's altogether too common. It's lying, it's stealing. It's an abomination. Another reason why we're tempted to lie, and these somewhat overlap, would be to subvert the law. And this may be more common in some cultures than others, but the cop stops you and says, "Did you see that no U-turn sign?" "Oh, no, sir, no, officer." "Did you see it?" "Well, if I say I saw it, I'm going to get a ticket. Maybe if I lie, I can get out of it," subverting the law. "Oh, income tax time is rolling around." Again, lying to subvert the law and get what we want or avoid paying what we don't want. Subverting the law. Another reason for lying is flattery. To manipulate others. What's flattery? Well, flattery is telling someone else how wonderful they are, how good they look, usually with lying exaggeration for the purpose of manipulation. There's an ulterior motive. There's something you want from them. And by flattery, by this tongue of buttering them up, you think, well, I'm going to get what I want from them. You know, the sad thing is, this just goes right in with what I said earlier about lying about yourself to impress people. Well, people are not really so averse to being told wonderful things about themselves. In fact, if we're honest, we'll say, well, yeah, that's kind of pleasant. When people tell you what a nice guy you are, how good you look, how you don't look a day older than 39. And I tell people who give me any hints of not looking a day older than 50 that, you know, you need your glasses fixed. But this is it's a long way off. We are prone. We are susceptible. Oh, not just yourself. How about your kids? Oh, your son is so smart. Oh, your daughter is so pretty. Or your grandson. Your grandson's so cute. Ah, it's nice to hear. Well, be careful when people are spouting out such nice things about you and yours. Now, of course, there's a place for appreciation. There is a place for telling people how you appreciate their gifts and what they've done. And that's not flattery. What's the difference? It's a difference of motive. Flattery is for the purpose of manipulation to get something you want out of them. Whereas appreciation is to build them up and to glorify God for what he has done in and through them. Different motivation and different effect. Now, what are the Bible warnings about this? Again, from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 26 and 28. 26, 28. "A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin." works ruin. 29 and verse 5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. So is any wonder that Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress has the shepherds warn Christian as they get close to the celestial city, beware the flatterer. Beware the flatterer. That's what Proverbs tell us. That's what God tells us. But not just beware the flatterer. Don't be a flatterer. Put lying lips far from you. Another purpose, and these things are sad, are they not? Another purpose or another reason why some are enticed to lying is to gain a following as false teachers and false shepherds and false prophets. Look at what God says about false prophets in Jeremiah 23 and 32. Jeremiah, and again, this would be one worth turning to, Jeremiah 23 and verse 32. Again, you look up the word false or lie, and you come up with these passages, and you just put them in their categories. The category here is to gain a following as false teachers. God says, "Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all." And sadly, in our day, with the health, wealth, prosperity gospel followed sadly by many, because they like what they hear, their ears are tickled, there are many, many false teachers who gain for themselves a large following and much riches even. Beware such. Some people do it, perhaps just they get a kick out of having a crowd following them, being a popular preacher. But some do it to gain financially. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Timothy in the New Testament warns us of the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, or Paul writing Timothy. First Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. In other words, they're liars, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Does that not cause a parade of false teachers to come before your mind's eye who are teaching false doctrines and enriching themselves in the process? Godliness, a means of great gain. And the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit writes to warn us to keep from such things. Now, one of their strategies, of course, these false teachers, is flattery. So this overlaps with a previous point. In Romans 16, in fact, we are told this with regard to heretics or these false teachers. Romans 16 and verse 17. So not only am I telling you this so that we would not be the false teachers, but also that we would not be deceived by such. 16:17, he writes, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Oh, the pastors don't give you the recognition you deserve. Oh, you have not been noticed. Oh, you have not been appreciated here. Flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Brethren, let us not be simple. Beware of such men. Now, as you read through Proverbs again, you take out your concordance. One thing that shocked me in preparing for this sermon is to find that in Proverbs, not just once, but twice, we find that lying is a means of covering hatred. Proverbs 10:18, going back to Proverbs now. People lie to cover their real feelings, or animosity, I should say, against others. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. But then even in greater detail, Proverbs 26 and verse 24 and following. Proverbs 26, 24, down through the end of the chapter. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit, in other words, this is how he's going to reveal it, will fall into it. And he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Now, people, you see, don't come right out and say what they think. I can't stand this pastor. I can't stand this sermon. And at the door, thank you, pastor. It's a wonderful sermon. Now, I hope that's not the case here. And if you come to me in the back and say, thank you for that sermon, I'm not going to think, oh, what is he hiding? But you see, this is reality. And these things often happen with church fusses and church splits and the ugly situations that can erupt in a church. And I know of a case where one day a man may say something, oh, what wonderful pastors we have. And in a few weeks, leaves the church with bitter accusations and exposed hatred. It has happened. He who lies is he who conceals hatred has lying lips. Brethren, let it not be true. If you have a problem, hey, let's talk about it. You know, that's one thing I can say working with these men for these 2 years, coming back here from the Philippines. We don't have any agenda, except God's agenda, which is what? That you be more holy and more like Christ, and that more would be converted. You want to know our agenda? There it is. We'll put our cards on the table. And you have a problem? Come. No, I think, not too hard to talk to. I've been able to talk to these four guys that I work with. Come, we'll talk. We don't have to conceal anything. We have open communication in our congregation. That's a thing to be treasured. He who conceals hatred has lying lips. May it never be here at Trinity Baptist Church. If your brother sins, go to him. Don't store up bitterness in your heart. Now, the last thing I want to mention, I think this is really a capstone. It's one that is perhaps the most common of all reasons why people lie. Why do we lie? Why are we tempted to lie? And that is to cover sin. To cover sin. Why? Because denying guilt is a characteristic of fallen human nature ever since Genesis chapter 3. Adam, where are you? Did you eat the fruit Well, now, one strategy of getting out of it is blame shifting. Well, it's the woman, you see, that you gave me. Don't forget that. Blame shifting is one strategy to avoid guilt. But another strategy we meet with in chapter 4 of Genesis. Where is Abel, your brother?
I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?
Did he know? His blood was crying to God from the ground. Cain lies to the face of God. Dear brother, that's a pretty foolish thing to do. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You're not going to get away with it. But Cain says, I don't know. I haven't got a clue. While the blood of his brother is crying to God from the ground, shed by his own hands. So, covering sin. What is the fruit of that? And you know the passage to which I'm going to turn when we think of covering sin. Of course you do. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. And if you had your Bible still open in Proverbs, that's one page over in my Bible. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins, and again, one strategy of covering sin is lying, will not prosper. You could take that to mean you're not going to get away with it. But even if outwardly, humanly speaking, on this level, on this plane of the earth, you get away with it for now, what good is it going to do you in the end? Will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You're not going to succeed in covering your sin. God sees through all the smoke. And if on this plane you get away with it for a while, you know what one writer said? Lies breed like frogs. You tell one, and it comes back with 100 more on its back. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Where's the end of lying? Don't cover your sin. He who confesses and forsakes will find mercy. Oh, but it's shameful. If people know, hey, guess what? I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. We know that. But it's shameful. Yeah, it's shameful. That's right. But you know what's even more shameful? Is to cover it up and have your cover blown off, either now or in the last day. That's infinitely more shameful and infinitely more dangerous. Here's a quote I want to give you. What man covers, God will uncover. But what man uncovers, God will cover. Think about that. Doesn't that encourage you to uncover your sin, to confess it and forsake it? What man covers, oh, it's shameful. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to lie about it. I'm going to get away with it. God's going to uncover it. But what man uncovers, he who confesses and forsakes, God covers. He finds mercy. Covered with the blood of the Lamb, washed away, white as snow. What man covers, God uncovers. But what man uncovers, God covers. And so as we apply these things, various temptations, various ways in which we're ensnared by the devil to follow his purpose and plan that we would be his children as the father of lies rather than act as children of our heavenly Father who is perfect and who is true. What's the application? Well, I have several applications here. First of all, brethren, keep this out of the church. That's what he says back in Colossians chapter 3. He says, do not lie what? To one another. And so it's specifically in the context of the church. Do not lie to the brethren. Remember this man, Diogenes, the Greek philosopher, And I'm not teaching a class on philosophy, so if you don't remember him, it's okay. But he was the guy who taught that the virtuous life is the simple life. And he dramatized this apparently by living in a tub. So I'm not recommending you live in a tub. But because of the corruption of his contemporaries, he went around the streets saying, "Have you seen an honest man?" He had a quest for an honest man. Would that he would find a whole host of them here at Trinity Baptist Church. Don't lie to one another. Be men and women of such integrity, and boys and girls, may I add, that lying is not found in your lips. You would rather be a loser than be a liar. Especially, let us avoid in our church the schemes and the machinations of flatterers who may come in. "Oh, what gifts you have. Oh, brother, you should be made an elder. Oh, what was it? They're blind." That should be raising red flags and flashing red lights and sirens blaring. Watch out for this guy. Watch out. Beware the flatterer. Beware the snare when someone comes telling you such wonderful things. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's, you know, the boss goes, "Oh, you're such a good employee." You say, "Wait a minute, he's going to send me to Siberia, you know, on the next project." Beware the flatterer. Second application. All right, so don't let it be named in our church. Beware the flatterer in the church or out of the church. Second thing, keep this out of your family. Nip it in the bud. Parents, as you raise your children, beware they are born liars. You don't have to have a class, you know, to teach them to be liars. They go astray from the womb, the Proverbs tell us. Speaking lies, or the Bible tells us. Be a good example to them. Don't lie to your spouse. Don't lie to your children. "Dad, can we go to McDonald's today?" "Oh, you know, they're closed." Well, if Chick-fil-A, I'd believe it today. But you don't have to invent things. Just tell them the truth. "No, we're not going there. It's not in the budget. Mom's cooked a good meal." Keep it out of your family. Parents with each other, to your children. Don't let your children get away with it. In our family, if there was one crime that was given double punishment, it was lying. When there's lying in the home, how can you trust one another? How can you have a fabric of a family where there's mutual trust and reliance on one another when you don't know if they're telling the truth? Teach them the truth. And that leads me to, I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit here. What kind of literature heroes do they have? Or movie or TV heroes? Or whatever heroes? Who are their heroes? Are their heroes people of character? Now, I just happened to notice downstairs over in the school wing, it was last Lord's Day, so I don't know if they're still there, but it seems that there's an English class reading Treasure Island. I love that tale some years ago. And here, of course, you have this boy, Jim. Jim. And he finds out he has a pirate living in his hotel, in his mother's inn, and they go looking for treasure. And he gets captured by the pirates, held hostage. And the doctor comes to treat them as part of this kind of plea bargaining thing. And the doctor whispers to him, "Jim, jump over the fence. You can get out." And Jim says, "I gave my affidavit. I gave my word. I can't jump." He could have. The doctor even said jump. But because he gave his word, he wouldn't do it. He was true to his word. Now, that was a hero, if you will, of literature for young people of a bygone generation. Who's the hero of the literature of today? Again, I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm not endorsing these books, but many read Harry Potter books. Now, what can you say about Harry Potter? Well, is he a man of his word or a boy of his word? He lies without batting an eye to get out of a scrape or to get what he wants. Those very motives that we read about. Again, I'm not promoting the books. If you go out and say, Pastor Steve promoted Harry Potter, that's a lie. Okay? So don't say it. But parents, if your kids are reading these books or watching the movies, have a discussion with them. Is this Harry Potter a good example? Is he a good role model? Talk to them and warn them. He's not a good role model. Where do lies come from? The devil is the father of lies. And as we go on in application, keep it out of your family. But brethren, keep it out of your heart. The mouth speaks, we saw last week, out of that which fills the heart. Fill your heart with truth, in other words. Meditate in the scriptures. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Soak your heart in truth. Don't leave room for the lies of the devil, which needs to the next application. Brethren, young people, children of Trinity Baptist Church, visitors, do not believe the devil's lie. Now, it may be that the devil has taken over the educational system in many schools and is teaching that we come from mud. Some molecules got together and decided to get smart and multiply themselves. Well, molecules, well, they did that. Yeah, it must be. Well, that's what my teacher told me. There was this goo that got together and suddenly life was there. Oh. And that's given out as truth. Dear young people, do not believe the devil's lie. You were not made by goo deciding to make itself. You're made by God. Let us make man in our image. You are a being with nobility, with importance, but yet fallen. You're made in God's image. Do not believe the lie of the devil. Has God said? The Bible? You believe that book? Yes, I do. Thy word is truth. Said the Lord Jesus Christ, who is true. What about the world? Again, we live in a world of unclean lips, of lying lips. What about the world? Can you trust? Yeah, let me just be honest, okay? People say, well, it's just a little lie. What's the big deal? You know, so everybody does it. Just put it to you. Do you want to live in a society where you can't trust anything from anybody? You know, that's what postmodernism is kind of trying to shove down people's throats. Well, you can't trust anybody. There's no truth. Well, why do you believe them? You want to live in a society like that? You can't trust the people selling you a used car? Well, take it to your mechanic anyway. Do you want to live where you can't trust your parents, where you can't trust your teacher, where you can't trust anybody? The government? Well, you know, our society's getting that way. What does that look like to you? Well, you know, it's easy to say, well, those people lie, that's bad. And of course, if I do it, it's just, you know, it's just a little thing. It's not really a big deal when I do it. What's that? It's a lie. Listen to the word of God. Psalm 5:6. Speaking to God, you destroy those who speak falsehood. Speaking of God, the Lord abhors the man of bloodshed. And you say, bloodshed, that's terrible. And deceit. put in one breath murder and lying. And what does it say about it? God hates it. He abhors it. It's abominable to God. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Abomination means it's despicable. It's totally hated to the utmost by God. God who will judge the world. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness will not go unpunished. And he who tells lies will not escape. Let those words sink in. He who tells lies will not escape. Well, that's how I escaped, by telling lies. No, you didn't. The final chapter's not written yet. Judgment day is coming. Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Well, I didn't really mean to lie, it just kind of came out. Careless words, you'll give an account. Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now you think about it. The lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So it's just an image. I tell you what, if it's just an image, it's a terrible image. And I don't want to be there. And neither do you. All liars. In other words, these verses are telling us you will not escape. You will not go unpunished. If you are one who practices lying, that's your lifestyle, that's what you are, you're a fake. You'll answer for it to God in the last day. But you know, there's one hope. There's one hope, and there's a hope, and it's a real hope. It's a true hope. And it's this. Let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Paul's sermon, Acts chapter 13. There is a hope. Through him who died, yes, was buried, yes, rose again to save sinners. Through him you can be freed, pardoned from everything. The law of Moses. Well, okay, I'm going to obey the law now. I'm going to do good now. The law is not going to save you. The law condemns you. But the Lord Jesus died to save sinners. And he's able to save, what does it say? To the uttermost, all who come to God through him. So here you are. You have Christ on the one hand. You have a lake of fire on the other. I don't believe that. Don't believe the devil's lie. Christ, a good Savior. A precious, loving master, the God of truth, will never lie to you. And the father of lies and the lake of fire, which will it be? Don't be a fool. Come to the Savior and be pardoned, accepted, changed. Die to the old way of life, raised to the new. All by grace alone. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come before you, we again confess we are people of unclean lips. Wretched men, women, boys, and girls that we are, who will save us from the body of this death? Well, we thank you through our Lord Jesus Christ that there's pardon, forgiveness, cleansing, acceptance, adoption, being brought into your family, a hope and a future, all in Jesus Christ. So we ask that you would take the truth of the gospel home to each heart, that you would help your people to walk in truth, to walk in the light as you were in the light, that you would put away, help us to put away lying lips far from us, to walk in truth and integrity, being true to our word and speaking truth. We ask all these mercies from you, our merciful God, through Jesus our Savior. Amen.